Hi, and welcome to the After Animals podcast.
After Animals uncovers trends and stories at the cutting edge of the global post-animal movement. What does a future look like in which food, fashion, and entertainment no longer have to exploit animals to be successful?
Each episode, we will share with you a remarkable and inspiring story about someone who is forging a more compassionate future for us all. After Animals is co-produced and hosted by me, Yulara Nakagawa,
and me, Sharanya Krishnaprasad. For this episode, I spoke with Chef Chad Sarno, who's the co-founder and VP of Culinary for the plant-based seafood company Good Catch Foods. I personally love their tagline, which is seafood without sacrifice. Chad has previously launched plant-based restaurants around the world, was a culinary instructor, and has authored multiple cookbooks.
That tagline is exceptional, and it sounds like it's going to be a really cool interview.
Chad, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I was hoping that we could start at the very beginning and have you walk us through what got you into this field and how you find yourself where you are today.
Great question. Thank you very much. Yes, in terms of the plant-based field, I have been in this line of work for about 20 years now. I first was introduced to, you know, the connection between food and health with stopping the dairy products at a young age. And, you know, I was had asthma growing up, and so that kind of put me on the path of health, of recognizing that when I stopped eating dairy, it directly impacted my health, and I was off all inhalers soon after. So that piqued my interest. And so years into it, I wanted to scream from the rooftops this personal experience. And the more I dug into it, the more passionate I got about the space and, you know, got into a lot of animal rights at the time and was a diehard activist for a number of years and kind of turned my attention from activism to more food activism from the inside and just, you know, working on the education side of things. I taught a number of classes for a number of years and ended up opening up some restaurants over in Europe for a handful of years as well, all plant-based, and then joined Whole Foods Market soon after that to lead their healthy eating program as their lead R&D chef and health and wellness coordinator for a little while there for about 4 years, 5 years. During that time, my brother also got hired as executive chef of Whole Foods, working with prepared food. So we worked very closely on the healthy eating and health wellness programs there. And during that time, we started an organization called Wicked Healthy, which at the time it was more of a concept and kind of a blog and wanted to build a community around culinary inspiration. And we just knew that we wanted to grow that business to whatever that would look like later. Fast forward a couple of years, ended up joining Ruby Online Culinary School and launched some plant-based certification courses. At that time, Wicked Healthy was starting to shape up. We put out a cookbook and started doing a lot of consulting with restaurants. And also Derek, my brother, got hired as the executive chef over at Tesco, which is the largest retailer. And to also, he's the head of plant-based innovation over there. So he drives all the plant-based offerings within that organization. We started Wicked Kitchen, which is a food line that is exclusive at Tesco. We have about 40 products in about 800 or 900 stores over there. And it's just been absolutely incredible what that has done for the plant-based offerings over in Europe. At the same time that he was joining Tesco, we ended up starting, co-founding with some investors and other partners, a company called Good Catch here in the States. Mm-hmm. My focus of energy was on Good Catch. His focus of energy has been on Wicked Kitchen. And so we've been leading both those projects. And Good Catch just launched a couple weeks ago. So we're now in production, which is a plant-based seafood line, which is very exciting. So at Good Catch, we launched it really looking at this white space of seafood and in terms of, you know, where we feel the consumer's attention needed to be. And the oceans are certainly there. It's been quite a journey over the years, and it's definitely evolved from restaurants and education to launching lines of products, which we're very excited about.
That's a fascinating pathway that you've taken to get to where you are. So now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the products that you're focusing on are direct-to-consumer type products versus to the food businesses. Is that true?
We just launched in retail first, and then we will be launching in food service very soon after. We're just ramping up our production. We anticipate that food service is going to be 50 to 60% of the business. Once we actually launch, we've been working with a lot of institutions and large catering groups and small and large operators when it comes to restaurants and chains that want the product. And there's just such a growing demand for plant-based proteins in the market. And as we know, the bar has been set very high by a number of companies. And, you know, the seafood, again, is one of those areas that has been a white space, which we're very eager to dig into.
That's very interesting because it's a great segue to what I was going to ask you about as well, because I wanted to know what you're seeing in terms of how people are responding and also the trends in the market right now.
First, people are certainly responsive. People are hungry for change. They're hungry for new options. And again, the bar has been set very high by other companies such as Beyond Meat and Impossible. And, you know, you had David on as well with Ocean Hunger. And there's been some really, really great bars set. And so we've worked on this product for a number of years, and we wanted to really focus on fin fish being the first line of species that we, you know, were to address when it comes to our products. And so tuna being the first and most widely consumed fish on the planet, we wanted to, you know, offer some alternatives to that. And so it's, I feel that where the demand is certainly is also convenience. I think a lot of people are looking at these products as not only easy to transition off of animal products and reliance on animal products, but also people are looking for convenience and accessibility. And that's the one area that I feel Good Catch is really, really honed in on with our offerings is we're a shelf-stable product, and we're sitting right next to the tuna in the tuna aisle. It's in a pouch. Yeah. We have three products to start. We have a naked, which is one in water. Then we have one in oil and herbs, and then a Mediterranean, and we'll have some line extensions from there. But the convenience of being able to travel with some plant protein when you're in a pinch, you're on a flight, and, you know, traveling or camping or throw it in your gym bag or just have it in your cupboard is something out of convenience that we haven't had with plant-based ever. So I think we're paving in a white space in terms of, you know, retailers in that way too.
Yeah, it's been very exciting. I've been a longtime vegan, and it's just amazing to see how we have more options now, more than just the food bars that I used to pack, and also, you know, things being available at airports and just about anywhere that you look. So it's very, very exciting to see that. One of the other things that I would love to chat with you about is, you know, what do you think are the challenges, but also the opportunities in terms of making mock meat actually taste delicious? Because I know when we started down the line of plant-based alternatives, everything tasted pretty much the same and not very good. Mm-hmm. But now it's getting really, really good and really close to the real thing. So I just wanted to, you know, have you chat about that too.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, when we were really navigating where the investment was going to go initially, we're very fortunate to have a number of impact investors that are behind the brand and, you know, mission-driven investment. And so, you know, knowing that we're gonna disrupt the existing factory fisheries with this product was really the driving force behind our early stage investors in Series A and all of that. So that's been very exciting. And so we wanted to look at what attributes people enjoy and people don't enjoy about tuna, because tuna is one of those things similar to dairy products that, you know, is one of the last to go when someone's embracing a fully plant-based diet. And tuna, one of the areas that people look at it as is it's a cleaner meat, and they look at it as lean, it's low in fat, it's convenience because it's shelf stable, and texture, and it's a clean protein, and that's sort of the perception of a product. And so we wanted to look at all of those sort of positive aspects of the product that people had, and also take some of the sort of the sticking points and the negatives, such as the smell and obviously that it's an animal product, take that into account when developing the product. So we worked on texture for the first year, I would say, in trying to get those thin layers of protein through our process. And it's a similar process to a number of products out there called extrusion. It's the difference with our product is it's a 6-legume blend. So we use, it's not just soy or pea. We use 6 different legumes with chickpea and navy bean and lentil, fava, soy, and pea. And so being able to create sort of that perfect blend of protein for one digestively, but also to give you that thin layer of protein, because all of them have different protein concentrate levels. So we worked on the texture first, and then we wanted to address also the taste and the aroma. And one of the sort of key sticking points that people have with tuna is that it just stinks. I mean, it's one of those products that are, due to tuna shaming, they call it, people just bringing it to work and, getting frowned upon, and or bringing it on a plane or, closed space. It's not the most appealing. So there was recently an article, I believe it was Washington Post, in November or December this past year, that was talking about millennials are crushing the tuna industry and really, due to, not wanting to have something that is offensively smelling like tuna is. And so we wanted to address that with our product. And so we use a number of different seaweeds and algae to, one, nutritionally, to give you that omega bounce and the DHA, which is very similar to the amount that's in a canned tuna product. But it also, by using algae and not reaching for those natural flavors, it tastes more like the ocean and it smells more like the ocean than it does, tuna. So we wanted to address that. And then, I would say the greatest challenge is that it's a white space. Vegan chicken or plant-based chicken, 10, 12 years ago was, you say those words together and people kind of frown at it because there wasn't really any reference point. And that's kind of where we are with plant-based seafood, is especially around tuna, because when you think of tuna, your mind either goes to the nutrition, it goes to the convenience, or it goes to the offensive smell. And so thinking of something that is not the real thing, having that offensive smell is, I think, turns off a lot of folks. So we really are just encouraging a number of tastings. That's why we've been doing sort of the expo circuit and a ton of tastings. And, and we're just finding that it's, folks that are not into tuna themselves, they are enjoying the product, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's very exciting. When you do these taste tests, do you also do it with like focus groups or with people that are consuming tuna and have them compare the taste?
Both. We've done both. We are starting to do more focus groups currently, but I would say that the majority of our tastings have been at food expos and, different health expos and holding table at different food and wine events, just getting the product out there and having people try it. And it's amazing. I mean, we're thrilled with the feedback. And, it's the nice thing about the product is it's a complete one-to-one swap out for tuna in any recipe. So whether it's cold application or warm application, our product functions almost identically.
That's also a great segue, because one of the questions I had for you was about the use of your product in unexpected culinary ways. Like, do you have any examples of where you never thought that your product would be used in that way, but it is now?
We've done a ton of R&D around, especially around the food service training information. So when we launch with food service, we're going to also launch a number of different culinary resources to really support small and large operators. And I think a big question mark that a lot of chefs have that aren't used to incorporating more plant-based items on their menu is they're working with this new product they've never seen before. They're used to working with chicken or beef or fish. And so they think they have to cook it differently, and most times you do, because it performs differently. Obviously, certain bean proteins are not going to hold up in certain culinary situations like animal proteins do. But what's amazing about our product is that it holds up better than tuna in cooked applications. It actually doesn't break down. There's a lot of plant proteins on the market that will break down when you add them to sauces and simmer sauces and curries and things like that. And ours doesn't. And we've been working with our product with a number of warm applications recently with chowders and curries and different pasta simmer sauces and things like that. And it's been just incredible, because it transforms from being sort of that denser, tuna sort of dry bite protein to hydrating to more of a fresh flake fish, which is really cool. So at a lot of our trade shows, we've been doing, fishless curry, and it's just amazing that, how it takes on the flavor and also hydrates and sort of loosens the protein a little bit, but still keeps the integrity of the shape and the layers of protein, almost like the flakiness of fish, which is really nice. So we've been having fun with it, and we know a lot of other chefs that we've been working with also have too.
That's amazing. On the flip side of things, in terms of your biggest critics in the midst of all of the success, can you talk a bit about that? Like, where have you been getting pushback, and how have you been countering that?
You know what? Because we just launched a couple of weeks ago nationally, we haven't had any pushback, and maybe I'm completely blinded to it, or they're just not sharing it. But I would say the greatest pushback is operationally, is just gearing up and being able to meet the demand and sort of not shooting ourselves in the foot and overselling the product and then having, you know, such a low percentage of fill rates on orders. And I think that that's been a challenge with a lot of, you know, with the growth of the plant-based protein offerings that are out there in the retail space. As you know, this movement is growing far beyond a trend, and it's in the consciousness of food service establishments to retailers and consumers demanding it. So, you know, there's such a demand that there's a shortage of product, which is a good thing. And that's a challenge for a startup like ourselves. And we've been very careful about having a strategic rollout. So right now we're rolling out with Whole Foods National, and we knew that even being nationally into all the stores, it was going to take a little bit of time. But then we wanted to offer accessibility to all potential consumers here in the States. And so we also have been launching with Thrive Market online to sort of build the brand awareness, and also Fresh Direct on the East Coast, up in the Northeast region. And then we have retailers and kind of strategically lined up to follow when it comes to the product and availability. And so I would say the greatest challenge and pushback that we've had is ourselves and just being able to meet the demand and from an operational standpoint. And, you know, it's very, very exciting. It's a very exciting time to see this growth in the space. It's just grown exponentially in the past 10 years since I've been in it, and being with a company and seeing it firsthand from the inside is, you know, one challenging, but something that's an exciting challenge to have.
Yeah. Also, in terms of the potential, given that you have gone from, you know, being at Whole Foods and being with other big names and having your own restaurants started and things like that, to come into this startup movement, clearly that's an indication that you have faith in the future for this. But do you also have any anecdotal evidence that fish alternatives are going to be a big market in the future?
Well, if we look at where we currently are in the state of our planet around the oceans, I mean, it's just shocking, the numbers. The more you dig into it, it's terrifying what we're faced with right now. So there has to be solutions. There has to be retailers and manufacturing companies and innovators and food scientists and chefs really thinking about, you know, protecting these natural resources that we have. And we've been hearing that same thing over and over for so many years, but we're coming to this point where I think it's a crazy number. 85% of the global fish stocks were overfished. You know, scientists are predicting that global fisheries will have a total collapse by like 2048. And nearly half of the U.S. fish consumption is factory farmed. Yeah. And as you know, they have no regard for animal welfare. I mean, they're packing these little animals in.
Okay, I just want to take a few minutes right now to talk about tuna. Mm-hmm. Bluefin tuna is highly endangered. And tuna as a species are just built for speed. They can swim as fast as 40 miles an hour in the water.
Wow.
And because they have to move that fast in the water, they've evolved so their fins don't even have nerve endings, so they can't sense the pain from moving through the water that quickly.
That's evolution for you.
Unfortunately, industrialized fishing techniques such as long line and purse seine fishing, which are commonly used to catch tuna, are indiscriminately killing and catching more than 80 other species of marine life.
Wow.
And scientists are estimating that because tuna take between 4 and 8 years to mature, the specimens that are being currently fished are too young to have been able to reproduce in the wild. And so they could have been the very last generation of bluefin tuna. Oh, just let that sink in for a second.
Yeah, I mean, that's tragic.
Yeah, and tuna are important as a top predator because they maintain the balance in the ocean environment of all of the other species of fish.
So the impact is going to be in the short term and the long term if they disappear from the oceans. And just thinking as an animal lover as well, I have such a great admiration for these fish that are so stealth. They've been called the cheetahs of the ocean, mm-hmm. and they're just also beautiful. I mean, they're enormous, they're fast, they're almost muscular, and they're beautiful to look at. And so mm-hmm. I think losing yet another amazing ocean animal is a loss for the planet and for us.
Yeah, and if you think about what it's all for, it's very short-term thinking because tuna sales reach $800 million a year, but we've depleted the stock so much in the wild that there is no more mm-hmm. for us to be fishing from. And while a single fish might fetch you $2 million in the market, what cost did that come at?
Oh, totally. And it sounds like because we're depleting them, the prices are soaring.
So exactly.
It's this vicious cycle that needs to be stopped.
Exactly. And that's where people like Chad come in, where they're coming up with alternatives. Like, you know, as much as you wouldn't want to think about it, we might very soon be facing a future where there's no more tuna in the wild. And so then their alternatives to tuna will then be playing a big role.
And yet he's going in and doing this, him and his team, sooner.
Exactly.
Before we reach that really tragic point of no return.
Yeah. And the hope is that, of course, as people are looking to alternatives and, you know, they see it in the market, then that makes them think about where their food is coming from.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that they're doing this.
Great.
And I think it's becoming a global awareness, at least in the U.S., it's an awareness that if pregnant women are told not to consume a certain food, you know something, we need to look at it a little bit deeper. You know, you should be able to eat all foods in all stages of life. And for mainstream physicians to tell women that are pregnant not to consume tuna products because of the high mercury content is obviously very problematic. And I think more and more we're hearing about the whole microplastic content in larger fish as well in all types of seafood. And it's quite terrifying. And so being a part of a company that is helping with the solution, I'm not going to be self-righteous and say we are the solution. I think that there's many players in the space and, you know, that are doing amazing work and offering amazing products. And I think that we'd like to look at as Good Catch as being part of the many that are looking to make change and, you know, our kids to be able to enjoy the oceans as we have, you know, without depleting them, and showing people that you can still have the same nutritional profile and convenience as we're so used to with certain animal products without the harm. So we like to say it's seafood without sacrifice is our tagline with Good Catch. So. Mm.
That's a great tagline. It's also a much healthier alternative, clearly, based on everything that you've said, but also that, you know, you've managed to retain a high level of protein and you're bringing in other components like, you know, the algae or seaweed to sort of supplement that. So that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. And a lot of just really quickly, a lot of folks think that because it's a plant-based alternative or a plant-based seafood, it's, you know, that there's chemicals and all these weird foods and ingredients added to it. We really take pride in our ingredient deck, and we have a 6-legume proprietary protein blend that we work with, seaweeds, algae, mm-hmm. oils, spices. That's really it. That's all that's in the product. And it's just a food deck play and the type of processing that we work with that makes it really a special product. So, I would say that's a challenge that we have is sort of shifting that perception that plant-based proteins have to be loaded with artificial ingredients.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That actually brings to mind another question. So then given that you have a low level of preservatives and things like that, you don't really use anything like that in your product. What kind of challenges does that present in terms of manufacturing, packaging, and then logistics of getting it to your final destination?
I wouldn't say that it's any challenges. I would say that we're past the challenging phase of R&D, and you know, I see that there is benefit to working with certain flavors when you absolutely need to, but due to the you know, seeing tuna and the perception that people have of tuna of being a clean alternative, cleaner meat alternative, that people have the perception of, we wanted to stick with that, with this one product. We have a number of line extensions lined up where we have these shelf stable products, which will then, you know, we'll be addressing salmon as well in the future. And then we're looking at some frozen products that hope to launch by the end of this year, which would be crab cakes and fish burgers and sliders and so forth.
Wow. That's very exciting. Yeah, I was going to ask about what's coming in the future. Given that it is good catch, do you think that you will expand at some point in the future beyond just fish? Or is that your focus?
Yes. Yes. No. Great. Our focus right now is fin fish out of the gate.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to focus on, you know, the largest farm raised and fish, which would be is tuna, and farm raised is salmon. So we wanted to address those first, and then, you know, get into the line extensions and address other species.
Awesome. That sounds very exciting. And then in terms of scale, so given that you've just launched, how soon do you expect your products to be widely available, both at Whole Foods as well as Thrive Market that you had mentioned before, and other online and offline retailers?
Well, right now in the next couple months, we have an exclusivity with Whole Foods. So we're launching with Whole Foods National. So it should be in just about all the stores now. If not, it's very close and on its way. And then we're going to be ramping up our production. We have a small production facility currently, and we're building out a much larger production facility to sort of meet the demand and the interest from other retailers. So we expect by the end of this year for it to be widely available and a number of different retailers across states.
That's very exciting.
Thank you very much for your interest in what we're doing and for your mission behind your work. And we just, you know, it's an honor to be with a number of these other players that are in the space that are really helping, trying to push change and open people's eyes to, you know, cleaner products in the market that are plant-based.
Yeah, definitely. No, and for me personally, it's just been very heartening to speak with different people and see how everyone's coming at it with a slightly different angle, but the ultimate goal is the same. And it's just very exciting that there are so many different players in the field right now.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. And I was just going to ask, is there anything else you want our listeners to hear about, either Good Catch or you? I just thought I'd give you a couple of minutes for just open mic time, if there's anything you want to say.
No, I would just say for more information, I would, you know, just to dive into the resources that are available and goodcatchfoods.com. And also my brother and I have a company called Wicked Healthy Food. We have a ton of recipe inspiration, and also people can look at other brands and other projects that we're working on. But Good Catch Foods has a number of different recipes and videos, and you can see all the latest press and news that we have around Good Catch and where we're launching and different user-generated content also around recipes and things like that. Just to check it out. And thank you for your support. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of After Animals. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Or tell one friend about our show. The more people we have listening, the faster we can spread the word. Thank you. The After Animals podcast's mission is to activate a kinder, more compassionate world through innovation.
After Animals is hosted by me, Yulara Nakagawa,
and me, Sharanya Krishnaprasad.
For the animals.